Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody talking about the seventh son and the whole round world, there is only one, and I'm the one. It will come to pass. I can do things to you, make your heart feel glad. Look in the sky, predict the rain. Oh, when a woman's got another man, I'm the one. Oh, I'm the one. I'm the one, I'm the one. I'm the one, I'm the one. The one to call the seventh son. I can talk these words that will sound so sweet. They will even make your little heart skip a beat. Heal a sick, raise a dead, make the little girls talk out of their heads. I'm the one. Oh, I'm the one. I'm the one, I'm the one. I want to call the seventh son.
Heal a sick, raise a dead, and make the little girls talk out of their heads. I'm the one. Oh, I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one to call the seventh son.
Donald Trump to be a political rival of President Biden?
I'm not going to speak to that from here.
But you talk about Trump all the time. So do you consider him to be...
I don't talk about Trump all the time.
Ultra MAGA, you guys were criticizing his handling of COVID last week. Yeah. You've mentioned his January 6th response a couple days ago. So can you say, based on all that, I didn't say anything about Mar-a-Lago. I'm just asking you if you consider the president to be...
I'm saying from here I'm not going to comment on that.
Does the president still want to think that he would be very fortunate to run against Trump in 2024, like he has said before?
Again, I'm not going to comment on...
The president. In the next election, I'd be very fortunate if I had that same man running against me. Does he still...
All I can tell you, Peter, is that the president intends to run in 2024.
Is there a concern here that if you guys don't say more, then these Republicans who are accusing this White House of weaponizing the Justice Department, weaponizing the FBI, that's going to become the public sentiment if you guys don't say once and for all, we are not doing that?
First of all, we're just not going to comment on the Department of Justice investigation.
Okay,
we're just not going to comment on that.
Is this White House weaponizing the Justice Department and the FBI against political opponents?
The president has been very clear from before he was elected, very clear on this. Hold on. Throughout his time in office.
I heard the quote. We will be playing the quote tonight at 6 o'clock. Is this administration weaponizing the Justice Department and the FBI against political opponents?
Peter, the president believes in the rule of law. The president believes in the independence of the Department of Justice.
That's a yes or no.
It's a yes or a no for you. I'm answering the question. You may not like it, but I'm answering the question. I'm answering the question, and I'm telling you that we are not going to comment on a criminal investigation. The president has been very clear. I laid out what his thoughts were back on January 7th in 2021 about how he saw the Department of Justice. And I'm just going to leave it there. We're not going to comment from here, from this White House, on a criminal investigation that is currently happening.
Hey, hey. James Vosick here with a conservative's perspective. 270 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. And I'm glad to be here. I'm a little pissed off, though, I got to tell you. You guys have heard, obviously, Young Ducey there with Caroline Jean-Pierre. I always think that's so cool, these people that have never had, you know, they've never spoken a word of French or whatever language it is in their life, and they'll whip out those names with an accent like, you know, they're fluent and just. So anyway, Caroline and Young Ducey, there are two of those guys. And I think that's Peter. The old man is Steve Ducey. He was like a weatherman. He's on Fox and Friends. He's one of their morning show guys, but he's been a staple of Fox. And then Young Ducey came in, I don't know, 8 years or so ago, and he's a Washington correspondent. And I don't want to be critical of Peter Ducey because there's nothing to be – he seems to be a straight-up guy, and all he does is basically call these guys on their silliness and asks them, you know, he makes them circle back. Okay, Jen Psaki, you know, she voluntarily circled back because she didn't have anything else to say, so she could just run around in circles and spin that crap. But Deuce, he makes them circle back and address these ridiculous, crazy things they've said, or to justify the ridiculous, crazy things they do. And oft times, as we just saw there, they really don't have an answer. They don't have an explanation for the ridiculous, crazy things that they do and say. I've been thinking about this thing all day. I saw it yesterday evening. It was a bug on Breitbart, I think, is where I saw it. It came across my news feed. But I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it until this morning. And I started reading some things about it when I was a little clearer in the head and focused on what was going on with the world. And I'm not surprised. I'm really not. And it's a sad thing to say that because, you know, we should be surprised. We should be shocked. We should be outraged. We should be, you know, we should be, and rightly so. And they did this to Roger Stone, poor old Roger Stone, drug him out and dead of night. You know, they call CNN, they bring him out in his shorts and his wife, you know, in the bedclothes and dead of night. And they perp walk him all over the place. And how's that other guy? I don't think they raided his home, but they sweated him for a long time too. Jerome Corsi. He's World News Daily. Anyway, and they try to get these dudes to break them, coerce them, make them turn, make them, you know, whatever they want them to do. And none of them did. Manafort didn't. Cohen. I'm trying to think of some kind of really cool, witty, and urbane cross-reference between Michael Cohen and Fredo Corleone and Chris Cuomo, but I guess I don't have to now since I put them all three in the same sentence. You get the idea. And I have thought about this and I have chewed on this. What show are we listening to? You know who it is. Anyway, and I've chewed on this a lot today. I really have, and it's again, like I say, we should all be shocked, we should all be outraged, and justifiably so. But are we really with what we've seen out of these cats? And let's Let's go back. Let's go back to Barack Obama and Eric Holder and Fast and Furious. Okay, you guys remember Fast and Furious, where they gave high-powered guns, they gave high-powered weapons. The Barack Obama administration sanctioned, basically, the sales and delivery of high-powered stuff, ARs, AKs, the 50-caliber sniper rifle. There's a couple different ones, but serious hardware to these drug cartels. The intent was to track the guns, okay, and see, you know, where they wind up, because they're thinking if they give them to these guys that are coming in to purchase them, you know, that'll lead them in some way back to the kingpins, although I'm pretty sure there was probably an easier way, or they probably already knew the kingpins one, but that was the story they came up with. And it was an abject failure. They put battery-operated tracking devices within the guns themselves, but again, they're battery-operated, so, you know, they're not going to live that long. The batteries aren't going to live that long. As soon as the battery's done, that's the end of it. You don't know where it goes from there. Excuse me. And they denied all knowledge of it. They didn't know anything about it. And the magic bullet in all these things is, well, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation, on something that's currently under investigation. I can't make any comments on it. Okay. They can make comments. They can say whatever they want to say. If they've got the case and they really believe in what they're saying, they'll tell you, well, we did this because this guy's, you know, he's doing wrong. He's criminal. He's done this. He's done that. We've got the evidence, and it was time to go in and make an arrest. They don't do that. Everything's done in secret. They seal up the warrants. Like nobody can see it. We don't know what the probable cause was. They say it was these documents that they're looking for, and you know, he mishandled documents. Donald Trump is the most investigated son. He's the most investigated guy in the country, maybe in the history of the country. Okay? And not once, by any stretch of the imagination, have they come up with one tiny, teeny, smidgen, iota, atom, electron of evidence against him in anything. Now, am I saying Donald Trump is a saint or a demigod? No, he's a guy, all right? And apparently he's a guy who has played straight, which is the only explanation for why these cats can't get him. I mean, and they won't. It can't be undone. No, there's not going to be any addressing this grievance. There's not going to be any reparation for this. This you know, this humiliation, this injustice that's been visited on the Trump family is not. There's just not. Okay, the people that run Joe Biden and the people that run the Department of Justice and the people that run the Federal Bureau of Investigation, this cabal of left-wing progressive Marxist kooks, they fear Donald Trump. They hate and loathe Donald Trump. And they hate him, and they fear and loathe him because of us. He represents us. I'm not going to get into any kind of philosophical thing. I'm not going to get into anything like that. But you've seen what the guy has done throughout this, you know, throughout both campaigns. Even though, you know, they say he lost through both campaigns, everything he said resonated with so many people. That hasn't changed. Okay? How do we know this? Because the ideals of the Make America Great Again movement, of the MAGA people, the ideals as well as the ideas are strongly resonating with common sense Americans. They won't stop resonating with common sense Americans either. And they resonate positively. That's why common sense Americans, black, white, Democrat, Republican, common sense Americans, rally to this vision of the country that Donald Trump has. So in doing what they've done, the Biden administration, as I said in the teaser, fundamentally declared war on 74 million plus Americans. That's you. That's me. That's Sean Hannity. That's any of your favorite radio hosts. That's El Guapo. That's Gary Biffer. But they've been declaring war on us for a long, long time. It's kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, well, we're not at war with Islam. Okay, I got that one. But by God, Islam sure in hell is at war with us. And it's the same kind of thing here. The analogy runs kind of the same. Look at what these people have done. Look at what they're doing. You're going to tell me these are fellow Americans? I really want to speak unity and kumbaya, but I don't think so. I don't think these are fellow Americans. I don't caucus with these cats and what they're doing. Not dead air. I'm still here. I was looking at my pocket, man. Let's do a little background here on the FBI while we're talking about them. Last January, beginning of this year, we found out that the FBI was fully aware of the terrorist that was planning to shoot the synagogue out in Colleyville, Texas, and that they didn't do anything. They knew who the guy was. His name was Malik Faisal Akram. I tell you, it's kind of weird. The Daily Mail, which is a United Kingdom paper, it's a British newspaper. They do a hell of a job on reporting American news. Because there's so many things that the people in domestic news agencies here, the establishment news media, don't want you to know about. And we shouldn't be surprised by it. It's because we hear this story repeated over and over again. So Malik Faisal, the FBI knows about the guy. He would say stuff like he wished that he would have died in the 9/11 terror attacks, like a good martyr. He was a regular visitor to Pakistan. And the intelligence system here in this country knew about the guy. To say that they knew about him would be an understatement. And look what happened. Just like the FBI was also fully aware of the Boston Marathon bombers, the Tsarnaev brothers, before anything happened, they knew about them. They knew what was going on. They took no action. The FBI knew about the Colorado grocery store shooter, Ahmad Alisa, before he executed his attack. They knew, they took no action. They knew in advance of the Pulse nightclub. They were tipped off by a local sheriff. They knew in advance about the San Bernardino terrorists. They knew in advance about the marathon bombers. They were tipped off by the Russians. They were tipped off by a local sheriff about Omar Mateen, the Pulse nightclub. They knew in advance about Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland High shooter. They knew in advance about Nadal Hassan. Don't try that at home, kids. It's okay for me because I talk for a living. Dr. Nadal Hassan in Fort Hood. They knew in advance of all these people. They took no action. the FBI not only knew about the shooters in Garland, Texas, back in 2015, Elton Simpson and Nadir Sufi. They knew about them ahead of time, just like with all these others. Not only did they know about the shooters in Garland, Texas, the FBI took the shooters to the venue, and they were standing only a few yards away. No, I'm not making this up. They were standing only a few yards away when Simpson and Sufi opened fire. Yes, you heard me. The FBI took the terrorists to the event, and then they watched it unfold. An FBI trainer suggested in an interview with 60 Minutes that had the attack been bigger, the agency's numerous ties to the shooter would have undoubtedly led to a congressional investigation. Why the hell didn't it anyway? You remember shortly before the 2018 midterm election when Cesar Sayoc, you remember him? He was living in a guy that was living in his van. They caught him sending, I'm doing my air fingers quote here, energetic material that can become combustible when subjected to heat or friction, or what Christopher Wray called not hoax devices. Gretchen Whitmer, just last year, I think. The FBI was involved in a plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. There were 18 suspects involved in this thing, 12 of them actually working for the FBI, January 6th. Does it not look more and more like an FBI-inspired and coordinated effort? And think of all the surveillance cameras in Washington, D.C. That's got to be the most heavily surveilled city, maybe in the world, certainly in the United States. And nobody's seen, no video anywhere. There's no video anywhere of anyone planting pipe bombs. None. Can't be found. Just like there's no video of Seth Rich being mugged and murdered. And I'm using my air fingers quotes on that one too. You guys remember Richard Jewell? The FBI tried to set that guy up too. Somebody that was transparently innocent. They waited 19 days. The FBI waited 19 days before entering the compound in Benghazi to investigate, again, air fingers crossed, investigate the death of Ambassador Christopher Stevens. 19 days. There's a whole lot more here. I can go on. We can talk about the Olympic gymnast case. You guys remember a couple years back, they intentionally and they specifically maintained the sexual exploitation of these girls by a doctor, one of their coaches or a doctor or somebody. They did absolutely nothing about the complaints. Nothing. Now, I'm just going to stop with that. There's a bunch more to this. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'll tell you where I got this from. I got this from, was this Conservative Treehouse? Yes, Sundance, Conservative Treehouse. We forget the failings of these people at the FBI, and we could take it back to Waco. I mean, we can go back a ways. Lon Wariucci, and this is something else I want to say, folks. You know, there are people that will, they'll admit to this, that they'll say clearly, you know, that the FBI is a corrupt organization. But you know, it's not the rank and file guys. It's not the guys in the field offices. It's the people on the eighth floor. It's the upper level management. It's the Comeys and the Rays and the Strucks and the McCabes and those guys. Really? Really? Who do you think's carrying all this crap out that they're directing be done? Field agents. The rank and file guys that you say aren't a part of this. Balls, man. What are you going to give us, the Nuremberg defense? They're just following orders? Following orders, and they're not doing it under duress. They're okay with these orders. Okay? If they had a problem with it, they wouldn't do it. Well, you don't know what would happen to him. No, I'm serious. If these guys were principled people, they wouldn't do it. Now, there have been some whistleblowers. That's how we're finding out about a lot of this. Grassley has gotten a letter talking about some of the rampant corruption and very serious evidence, I think, of weaponization of the FBI. Getting agents to change their stories, getting agents to make people fit profiles. Berea, what was his first name? Harvey. I can't remember his first name. He was one of Lenin and later one of Stalin's intelligence men in the NKVD. And he said, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. You think that's not what's happening here? These guys know what they're doing. They know what it means. They don't have a problem with it. Can the organization be saved? No, I don't think so. I really don't. And I don't know. I'm not exactly sure that the Department of Justice can be saved. It has to be somehow reformed. This corrupt, progressive Marxist cancer excised from the body. I don't know how that happens. But it has to happen somehow if we're going to, you know, survive as anything other than a banana republic or an oligarchy with a multi-tiered justice system. Down at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to take a little break. I got to get something to drink, and we will be back with more of ACP right after this.
Today I'm more confused, yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate to lose, and I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Beginning to think that I'm wasting time. I don't understand the things I do. The world outside looks so unkind. Now I'm counting on you to carry me through. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll. No melody can move me. thank for the joy that you've given me. I want you to know I believe in your song, rhythm and rhyme and harmony. You've helped me along, making me strong. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Nation in decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has the highest inflation in over 40 years. Where the stock market just finished the worst first half of a year in more than five decades. We are a nation that has the highest energy costs in its history, and we are no longer energy independent or energy dominant, which we were just two short years ago. We are a nation that is begging Venezuela and Saudi Arabia for oil. We are a nation that surrendered in Afghanistan, leaving behind dead soldiers, American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the finest military equipment in the world. We are a nation that allowed Russia to devastate a country, Ukraine, killing hundreds of thousands of people, and it will only get worse. We are a nation that has weaponized its law enforcement against the opposing political party like never before. We've never seen anything like this. We are a nation that no longer has a free and fair press. Fake news is about all you get. We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed, where crime is rampant like never before, where the economy has been collapsing, where more people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020. We are a nation that is allowing Iran to build a massive nuclear weapon and China to use the trillions and trillions of dollars it's taken from the United States to build a military to rival our own. We are a nation that over the past 2 years is no longer respected or listened to all around the world. And we are a nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot meet. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield ever, ever, ever. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little. chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
Again. What Democrat says these things? My good friend and fellow podcasting host, Gary Benford, host of the United Patriots Uprising, which is a terrific show. By the way, he's got Diamond and Silk scheduled for his next broadcast, so you don't want to miss that. I don't care what you're doing, where you're at. Gary Benford, United Patriots Uprising, find that show and make sure that you tune in. Diamond and Silk are going to be on there. He's got a stable of guests that's just out of the world. People, the establishment types, would love to get, and they can't. But Gary can, and you need to check him out. Gary and I were talking one time about all these things. Think back in the last 25 years. Once upon a time, we were shocked. We were shocked and appalled. The entire nation sat up straight and clutched at their pearls when the Watergate scandal came to light. I mean, that set the standard. That was bigger than Teapot Dome. August 23rd, by the way, Gary, just said August 23rd is when that show's going to be on with Diamond and Silk. So you got plenty of time and absolutely no excuse not to be in on that one. You know, it set the standard. That was the metric. The word Watergate, just simply Watergate, became synonymous. Scandals and cover-up. And it was, the gate suffix was used after that for anything that was some kind of a government conspiracy or cover-up of government wrongdoing. And look at all the stuff that happened in the Clinton administration. Look at everything that happened I'm not going to say that there wasn't anything like this going on. This kind of corruption scandals weren't going on in the Bush administration either. Politics is rife with it on either side of the spectrum. But look at all these scandals that we've seen. Weaponizing the IRS during the Obama administration to go after the Tea Party types. Fundamentally weaponizing media. 8 years of that. 8 years of that decay. 8 years of that managed decline. And that's what we're in now, and I'm sick of it. What policy from the time that doddering old fool took his hand off the Bible and Squishy walked back to the Oval Office, what policy has been enacted by these people that has been of benefit to the American people? Anybody? No, nothing. Zilch. There has never been one time in all the years, and that's what it's been, years of investigation that Donald Trump has been subjected to ever since he came down that escalator, that he hasn't complied with, that his family hasn't complied with. I don't know if we can count all the hours of testimony that his sons have given, that he gave, that his family... Nothing. They didn't find anything. They made it sound ominous and conspiratorial. But when you reached in the bag and you dumped it out onto the ground in the cold, hard light of day, there wasn't anything there. There wasn't anything there, and there isn't anything there now. They're horrified at the prospect of Donald Trump running for president again, okay? It's that kind of fear and loathing. They are horrified of it. And it shows you what lengths they will go to preclude that from happening. By the way, welcome back. It's Conservative Perspective. I'm James Bostic. It's nice to be here with you. We do it twice a week, live Tuesdays and Thursdays here on Patriot Nation Radio at blogtalkradio.com. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, Mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is the very best, among the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio, just like what you find here five nights a week on Patriot Nation Radio, just like what you find every single time you tune into Gary Benford on United Patriots Uprising. That being said, let's get back to it. And speaking of Gary, we've talked about this a bunch of times. Anytime there's been some kind of astonishing move that is contrary to freedom and liberty and these things that are guaranteed in our Constitution by that Marxist, progressive, leftist coup movement, they're so power mad. They lust for that control so fully, so deeply, that there comes a point when it's almost that thing that they desire the most, whatever it is, whether it's guys being able to go into women's bathrooms or dudes being able to get abortions, you know, whatever it is, okay, whatever. It's right there. They can see it. It's life size. They smell it. It's just inches. It's just out of reach. Just out of reach. And that is, it's at that point, whatever it may be, they overreach. Whether they obtain the objective or not, they overreach. And it's overkill. And through that overkill, they eliminate any advantage the objective, obtaining the objective, may have had to them. Or they miss it completely. And in missing it completely, you know, they're still exposed for what they were trying to do. And we dodge the bullet. I don't understand why it always seems to be that way, but it does. And there have been a lot of times that it's only been through that overreach that what's been happening was brought to the awareness of the general public. People like you and I, people that pay attention to this stuff, yeah, we've known about it for a while, and we've speculated and conjectured on it for, you know, for some time now. But there are a lot of folks out there that over the last year or so, well, last 3 or 4 years, because they saw what Black Lives Matter was doing. They saw what Occupy Wall Street was doing. They saw what Antifa did and is doing still. And they're aware of it. And so that's led them to question certain things. And that's led them to reject some of the sources of information that they thought they could rely upon. And by the way, don't take my word for any of this, guys. Don't take my word. Check it out yourself. These are the things that I've been able to ascertain from sources that I believe are reliable. And I just want to disseminate that information to you. That's all I am. That's it. There are other people out there that are doing the work, hard work, good work. Sean Witzman is a good example of that. Sam Ruffnall is another one. Those guys are at StopTheHate.org. Gary Benford is doing great stuff. I mean, there are a lot of people out here. Everybody, you know, everybody's doing good work. And everybody's got these sources that they know to be reliable. And more people are finding out what's going on. Not dead air, just thinking about it. So what comes from what they've done tonight? Who is going to appreciate what happened at Mar-a-Lago? Well, the usual suspects, Hollywood, you know, they love this kind of, crap. Everybody says, and I suppose it's true, if these people can do stuff like this to Donald Trump, former president of the United States, they're not going to have any problem doing it to you if they think they need to shut you up, or if they disagree with something you're talking about or thinking about, or me for that matter. Now, we're still kind of like in the vacuum of this event. And I think what's going to happen, I think we see it generating more and more. There's going to be a backlash from this. It's not going to go the way they think it's going to go. It was done for purposes of intimidation, obviously, to intimidate Trump, which I think is a waste of time because I don't believe that he can be intimidated. I don't think that that's going to work. It may be seen as, you know, if you side with this guy, we can do the same thing to you. If you stick up for this guy, you know, we can raid you. We don't care that it's just a tiny little house. We got all kinds of guys, as you can see. In Russia, it's known as the FSB, the Federal Security Bureau, or the Federation Security Bureau. It's what was left of the KGB and the GRU and all the other, you know, communist intelligence services. And it does the same thing that the SS, the Gestapo did in Nazi Germany. It does the same thing that any secret police agency in any totalitarian country does. And that's what we've got now with the FBI. The corruption is systemic. It's not just the management floor, okay? It's not just the management floor. It's the field office guys. I'm not sure really that a whole lot of people in the FBI can be defended here. I'm really not. I think it was common knowledge from the very beginning that when James Comey stepped down because of all that foolishness, you know, and he got fired. Well, he didn't step down, he got fired. It was kind of obvious, I think, to a lot of people, and I don't understand why it wasn't really that obvious to Donald Trump. But, you know, Christopher Wray was a rear guard guy. Think about what was going on when Comey did that. You know, they had the Russian collusion hoax. You had the people coming out talking about the role that the intelligence community had played or was playing in it. The FBI had just finished spying and was continuing to spy on Donald Trump through the campaign and in the White House. He may not have had a choice. I don't really understand the reasoning or the thinking because I don't know anything about what he was thinking behind that decision. But, you know, Christopher Wray's a rear guard and he's done a hell of a job and he's still there. What do we do? What do we do with the FBI? Now, this could be kind of a constitutional question. I suppose it is, really. And it would come under, if anything, I would say, under the enumerated powers or states' rights. And what we're talking about is, you know, those things that are not within the purview of the federal government revert to the states. And we just saw a classic example of this, a textbook example of this in the Roe v. Wade decision, you know, in striking down Roe v. Wade and sending the issue of abortion back to the individual states. Georgia has its own Bureau of Investigation. West Virginia has a state police force, and you know, every state does, with detectives. How it would work in terms of federal crimes, I'm not exactly sure. But there are federal prosecutors, and if state investigative agencies realize that federal crimes are being committed, people are going to know about it. We're going to see it on the court dockets, and it can be moved along accordingly. I just don't know that there needs to be an institution as pervasive in the country that is that corrupt. Just the same thing with the Justice Department, or the Department of Education, Health, and or Homeland Security. Homeland Surrender, as our pal Mike Cutler talks about. I got to call him. I haven't talked to him in a while. What do we do? Do we need it? No, I don't think we need it. Any more than we need the Department of Education, any more than we need to be members of the United Nations. Isn't that the whole point of a State Department? To enter into negotiations and treaties with the various nations of the world? We can do that independently of the United Nations. We don't need the United Nations at all. They need us. They need our money. But we don't need them. They're a waste. But the sad truth of the matter is there's probably not going to be anything that happens to the FBI. At some point, maybe somebody somewhere will get enough dirt on Christopher Wray and turn the heat up to the point that he decides it's time for him to step aside from his responsibilities and spend some more time with his family. And some guy who Ray knows will carry on in the tradition of Ray and Comey, and he'll step in. If we won't know anything about him, he'll come from the shadows. He'll come from the wings. And he'll have the same kind of educational background. He'll have the same kind of career highlights and moves that all these other guys have. Would be a cookie cutter. And he'll continue the work that Christopher Wray did in obfuscating and targeting American citizens. Can they be brought to heel? I guess that's the big question. Can they be brought to heel? Is it too late to do anything with the Justice Department or the FBI? I don't know. Nobody has any faith in them. It seems like every bad act that goes down in this country, they had prior knowledge of the actor and his intent. Hell yeah, they drove the guys in Garland, Texas. They drove them there. They gave them a ride. Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot. This is not a good agency. Okay? This is not Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. This is not a Quinn Martin production. I don't know what the hell this is. And again, it's not the upper management. It's the rank and file, okay? Lon Horiuchi, you guys remember Lon Horiuchi from the standoff with the Weaver family at Ruby Ridge? He was a sharpshooter, Army veteran, got into the Federal Bureau of Investigation, one of their rapid response hostage things. He shot Vicki Weaver as she was holding her infant child. Because he got the go-ahead to take out, what was the guy's name? Harris. Ricky Harris, I think, and Randy Weaver. But he missed. And he shot Vicki Weaver and he killed her. It was an FBI agent that killed their 16-year-old son the day before. Killed their dog. Not dead air, man. Just thinking things over. We're going to take a little break. We will be back with the final segment, I guess. What is it? Nah, we still got time. We'll figure out something. Anyway, we will be back with more of ACP right after this.
Do you just sign it up.
Yeah.
Sign it up.
Kick,
sign it up.
Come on.
Sign it up, that bass.
Kick, kick.
Oh, yeah.
Sign it up,
now look here. I want that guitar to fall in on now. Sign it up now. Oh, yeah. Now sign it up, boys. Yeah, now everybody sign it up now. Now look here. We gonna make it mellow for you now. We gonna make it mellow now. Well, sign it up. You can get it. Move to your left. Move to your right. Sign it up now. Everything will be out of sight. Come on and sign it up. Sign it up now. You can do it.
Oh, yeah, Archie Bell and the Drells and the one and only King. Has anybody seen the movie, Elvis? It's on my list, man. I'm going to be seeing it here soon. My brother and his wife went to go see it a couple weeks back, and they said that the guy, I don't even know who he is, but he nails it when it comes to the performances, to the whole vibe. So that's going to be worth checking out. That was, and, of course, Elvis there with the Tiger Man, El Tigre. Yes, El Tigre. If I ever come up with a fragrance, an aftershave, a cologne, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it El Tigre. What kind of man wears El Tigre? I'll tell you. He's the kind of man who wears his athletic spectacles so that he may see you seeing him. El Tigre. Today's manly fragrance for the mucho macho muchacho. By Claude Balls, El Tigre. Okay, got to... Sometimes you just got to do stuff like that, okay? Oh, I was on. Oh, damn, I was on. Okay, well, anyway, welcome back. Conservative Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, shame on you, because it is some of the best of libertarian and conservative talk radio you're going to find out there anywhere. Mojo50.com. Okay, Biden's crazier than hell. We know this. And the people that handle him don't give a damn that he's crazier than hell, because the people that handle him aren't going to be the ones that sink in the polls that will go down as if possible. And he's off to a hell of a start. You know, he's going to be an even worse presidency than Barack Obama or Jimmy Carter combined. Both of those guys are probably walking around the house high-fiving each other right now. Thank God for Joe. I'm sure they are, man. They're just dancing a happy little jig. El Tigre. So anyway, I don't want to dismiss this as this thing with Mar-a-Lago and what the FBI has done and has continued to do, as we've established historically with some of the things we've talked about this evening. We can't take away the seriousness, the gravity of this, because it is, and it's no joke. If they can do it to a guy like Donald Trump, they can do it to you. They can do it to me. They can crush us. Roger Stone was a 67-year-old dude, okay? Mouthy, but that was about it. They had frogmen in the lake behind, or in the river, by the creek behind his house. They called CNN. They rousted him out of bed at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning in his BVDs. This is bullshit. Okay, it's scare tactics. Okay, if it was Pablo Escobar, yeah, absolutely. Drop some kind of wrecking ball through the roof and then have dudes like Chuck Norris rappel from helicopters down in there and get him. Roger Stone, really? A 67-year-old social butterfly? Same thing with Manafort. Same thing with Rost and Jerome Corsi and all the guys that they've shook down and tried to. Same thing with Michael. Yeah, that's bullshit. It's okay. This is not an agency we can trust. This is not Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. This is not lovable Agent Bill Maxwell from Greatest American Hero. I know that was a Robert Culp reference because I'm a big fan. I really like him. I always did. I Spy was a great show. Okay, that's not what it is. It really is more like the Gestapo. It's really more like the GRU. It's really more like SAVAK. It's really more like the DGI. Yeah. When I was a kid, growing up, In the mid-late 1960s, early 1970s is when I came up. I can remember sitting at home in the living room floor in front of that console TV. That big fat 27-inch or 25-inch or whatever it was. Watching Walter Cronkite. Watching John Chancellor. Watching Chet Hunt, David Brinkley. I'm going to be talking about the things that were going on in the country, the economy, the war, over in the corner of the screen, every network, ABC, CBS, NBC. There was a little crawl with a counter, and that counter showed the current total of KIAs in Vietnam, the current total of wounded in action, taken prisoner, and the daily tallies of those things. And it was like Jerry Lewis's, you know, it was like a muscular dystrophy telethon. Every day there was a new total. It would roll those numbers over. And I remember seeing cops being attacked by anti-war demonstrators, college protesters, hippies, dirty, filthy, stinking hippies. And the tear gas and the clubs and the hoses and the fire bombs and all the violence and the racial discord. And that too was a time when we didn't think we could trust the government. That government was the Johnson administration, by the way. Yeah, Democrats. Everybody was angry. Everybody was angry. The anti-war protesters were pissed off because Johnson expanded America's involvement in the war. The pro-Vietnam people were ticked off. They were ticked off at the anti-war protesters because they clearly didn't understand that we had entered into these treaties with the people of South Vietnam. We had invested in their country, you know, it was called the domino principle. And it was a popular doctrine in that day. And what it was is there had to be a bulwark against communism because smaller countries like dominoes would topple over to communist insurgency. And to a certain extent, that was true. You could see it in North Korea. You saw it in North Vietnam. Both countries, you know, the idea was for the communists to take over the entire country. They failed during the Korean War, and in Vietnam, ultimately, they did not. When we left there, they rolled through in 1975 and unified the country under communist authoritarian rule. And I suppose in every government as large as the kind of government that we have, there are always going to be opportunists. There are always going to be those who are corrupt. There are always going to be those who are going to skim they're going to either take money or they're going to work on acquiring power or position or influence. And they're going to do it at the expense of the citizenry. And that's where I have the problem. I don't mind ambitious people in government. You've got to have a little bit of ambition to aspire to those offices, to that level of leadership. But at the same time, beyond ambition, you have to have a little bit of experience. You have to have a little bit of potential. You have to have a little bit of ability. And that's where we have problems. You know, Ocasio-Cortez and Jalaya Powell and Presley and Tlaib and Schumer and Boxer and Feinstein and Pelosi and Gerald Nadler and anybody up there that you want to name, you know, there's a lot of ambition, but there's not a lot of ability. Those people I just mentioned, every one of them ambitious as Lucifer, no question about it. And no matter how much power they acquire, they will always lust for and covet more. So now what? How do we change it? Well, we can vote them out. Yeah, we can vote them out, but, you know, they fixed the frickin' votes, man. Were you around in 2020? Okay? 2,000 mules ring a bell to you? Does the name Ruby Begonia ring a bell? Anyway. It comes down to one thing and one thing only. Everybody has, there's a lot of people that are saying it, and a lot of people are saying it different ways, but it's all the same thing. Okay, it is an informed and disseminating electorate. You got to know what the hell you're doing, man. When it comes down to voting, we can't just be straight ticket voters anymore. We can't vote Democrat. Why? Well, because my daddy was a Democrat. And his daddy was a Democrat, and his daddy before him was a Democrat, and by God, I'll fight you. We can't do that. We can't do that with Democrats. We can't do that with Republicans. We have to look at the people that are going to be best suited to administer government to the benefit. Take care, Gary. I'm glad you stayed with me as long as you did, man. Be safe. Gary never misses. He may not be able to stay the whole time, but he is always with me and has been. Every show for a while now. Every show I start out, man, he's there. And he's like my silent wingman. And I love it. You good, dude. So you got, you know, I mean, it's going to be different for every person. Okay, every person's going to have to answer this for themselves. How do they get involved? To what level can they get involved or be involved? Where? And doing what? When Barack Obama won his first term, for 4 years, I dithered and farted around about whether or not to do this. I had heard all the guys. I'd been listening to them. I'd had a lifelong love affair with radio all my life. You know what? And I didn't. I didn't do anything. I just thought about it. And I talked to a couple of people about it. And that was about it. And then when Barack Obama won his second term, I realized I had something to say. And this forum was so open. I spent $60 for my first USB podcasting mic. And I found a place called Podomatic, and I read a little bit about how to do it. And I started putting stuff together, and Thanksgiving weekend, 2012, I guess, a conservative perspective went on Podomatic, a 30-minute show. I had no idea what I was doing, so it's not really a whole lot different than today. But I just kept at it. And the more I found out, the more, you know, I thought about things as they existed and what, the, you know, what's going on. And after about 3 months of that, I guess it was January, February, I got an email from this guy named Primo Mondoni, who had an internet radio station called Red State Talk Radio. He said, I heard your show. I like what you're doing. I got a 30-minute slot. Would you like to be a part of it? I was over the moon that somebody, number one, even heard the show. Number two, you know, that thought it was worth other people listening to. And that was fantastic. So I went on there. I went to an hour, and then Red State Town Hall. That's what it was, Red State Town Hall. And it kind of went its way, and we were moving into a bigger area of operations of broadcasting for Red State. And regrettably, Primo died. Primo Mondoni from Cleveland, Tennessee. I heard that, and I read that, Primo Mondoni, Cleveland. Oh, man. It's going to be Mob Guy Radio, but it was Cleveland, Tennessee. It wasn't Cleveland, Ohio. It was Cleveland, Tennessee. And when I talked to him on the phone, he was as country as grass, but he was a terrific guy, and I'll never forget him because he gave me a shot, and you know, he let me get established, and I learned a lot from him in that year or two that I was with him. And then we moved on to Mojo and Ron Phillips, who I met through Don Newen and Donna Fiducia, some podcasting friends of mine that have been instrumental in doing a lot of good things for me. And so that's my job. Like Brad Witzman is a free-range journalist, free-range anchor man. Because I'm not doing anything. I really don't, man. I coalesce this stuff. I disseminate it, and I share it with you. And it's from sources that I know are reliable because I've watched them, and I've seen them for years. And they call it. They call it every time. But we got to be informed. And it's not just and the national stuff that I talk about, the news and commentary thing here, that's cool. But if it's really going to make a difference, you got to go home. You got to go. To your county commissions, your city councils, your boards of education, your county commissions. You got to know who those people are. And I'm going to tell you, oftentimes, there's very little difference in the level of ambition versus the level of ability. Okay, you get the same kind of people. You can get Nancy Pelosi's on your boards of education just as you can in the Senate. They're just as ambitious. They're just as controlling. It's just on a smaller scale. You got to be aware of that. And it's easier to get rid of them on the board of education or your city council than it is when they go to Congress. Unless you've got, you know, unless the president of the United States, you know, is you're the same political party as the president of the United States, and he's just doing such a god-awful job that people are willingly leaving at the midterms. Right now, I think it's 30, 31 Democrat congressmen and senators saying, "That family time, I'm out of here." That's huge. Now, this is a golden opportunity, and we can fill a lot of the seats. Now, I don't know what kind of depth the Democrats have on their roster. I really don't. But this is a golden opportunity because of the disdain and the distrust that they have generated and brought upon themselves that we can, but we can't send the same kind of guys we've been sending. Again, you're going to have to be informed. We're going to have to be disseminating. We're going to have to be discriminating. We're going to have to find people that support the mandates that benefit us. Otherwise, it's just flatulence in a whirlwind. A difference. What a tremendous difference 2 short years has made. What do I mean? Hang on. I'll show you.
America is a land of heroes, a place where greatness is born, where destinies are forged, and where legends come to life. This is the home of Thomas Edison and Teddy Roosevelt, of many great generals, including Washington, Pershing, Patton, and MacArthur. This is the home of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman, the Wright brothers, Neil Armstrong, and so many more. This is the country where children learn names like Wyatt Earp, Davy Crockett, and Annie Oakley. This is the place where the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth and where Texas Patriots made their last stand at the Alamo. The American nation was carved out of the vast frontier by the toughest, strongest, fiercest, and most determined men and women ever to walk on the face of the earth. Our ancestors braved the unknown, tamed the wilderness, settled the Wild West, lifted millions from poverty, disease, and hunger, vanquished tyranny and fascism, ushered the world to new heights of science and medicine, laid down the railroads, dug out the canals, raised up the skyscrapers. Our ancestors built the most exceptional republic ever to exist in all of human history, and we are making it greater than ever before. This is our glorious and magnificent inheritance. We are Americans. We are pioneers. We are the pathfinders. We settled the new world. We built the modern world. And we changed history forever by embracing the eternal truth that everyone is made equal by the hand of Almighty God. America is the place where anything can happen. America is the place where anyone can rise. And here, on this land, on this soil, on this continent, the most incredible dreams come true. This nation is our canvas, and this country is our masterpiece. We look at tomorrow and see unlimited frontiers just waiting to be explored. Our brightest discoveries are not yet known. Our most thrilling stories are not yet told. Our grandest journeys are not yet made. The American age, the American epic, the American adventure has only just begun. Our spirit is still young. The sun is still rising. God's grace is still shining. And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come.
Yeah. To me, that resonates every inch as it did the first time I heard it. I love it. That was where we are. I mean, that was where we were. That was where we were. This is where we are.
We are a nation in decline. We are a failing nation. We are a nation that has the highest inflation in over 40 years, where the stock market just finished the worst first half of a year in more than five decades. We are a nation that has the highest energy cost in its history, and we are no longer energy independent or energy dominant, which we were just two short years ago. We are a nation that is begging Venezuela and Saudi Arabia for oil. We are a nation that surrendered in Afghanistan, leaving behind dead soldiers, American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the finest military equipment in the world. We are a nation that allowed Russia to devastate a country, Ukraine, killing hundreds of thousands of people, and it will only get worse. We are a nation that has weaponized its law enforcement against the opposing political party like never before. We've never seen anything like this. We are a nation that no longer has a free and fair press. Fake news is about all you get. We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed, where crime is rampant like never before, where the economy has been collapsing, where more people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020. We are a nation that is allowing Iran to build a massive nuclear weapon and China to use the trillions and trillions of dollars it's taken from the United States to build a military to rival our own. We are a nation that over the past 2 years is no longer respected or listened to all around the world. And we are a nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot meet. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield ever, ever, ever. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down as long as we are confident and united. The tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
Yes, it is. It is totally time to start talking. My God. Apparently I'm being dive-bombed by the FBI. Yeah, it is time to start. We never should have stopped talking about it. Some of us haven't stopped talking about greatness. That's some pretty strong stuff right there, man. For real. It's time to take it back. I don't know how it got away from us the first time, but it's time to take it back. And we know what we got to do. We know how we have to do it. We know, you know, and it's not going to be without cost. It's not going to be without cost because these guys, they like that power. They want to hold on to it. And we just can't let that happen. We just can't. It's got to quit. We got 30 minutes left. I got to get some more Kool-Aid. We will be back with more of a conservative's perspective right after this. As soon as I find something, man, just calm down. All right. There's a lot of stuff on here. I need to clean off a bunch of these. I got a bunch of clips like that go back a long, long time, and I really need to get rid of them, and I'm going to do that. But we'll be back. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to get some Kool-Aid. But we'll be back here in just a little bit. Dig it.
It's not unusual to have fun with anyone.
It is not unusual at all. James Bostic here, we're wrapping things up on the final segment of A Conservative's Perspective for tonight. Magistrate Bruce Reinhart was the man who approved the FBI raid on former President Donald Trump's estate at Mar-a-Lago, according to Breitbart News. Reinhart is also reportedly linked to representing convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's employees. Since 2018, Reinhart has been a Florida federal magistrate judge after working in private practice for 10 years, where he reportedly represented Jeffrey Epstein's employees. According to the United States District Court, Southern District of Florida, Reinhart was a solo practitioner and as the co-chair of the White Collar Crime Practice Group of a national firm. His practice focused on white-collar criminal defense and complex civil litigation. From 1996-2008, he was an assistant U.S. attorney in West Palm Beach. From 1988 to 1996, he was a trial attorney in the public integrity section of the U.S. Department of Justice, having entered the department as part of the Attorney General's Honors Program. He began his legal career as a law clerk to the Honorable Norma L. Shapiro on the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. There's always a Jeffrey Epstein angle. Bruce Reinhart was a magistrate in West Palm who signed off on the search warrant to search Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Okay. He left the U.S. Attorney's Office to represent Epstein's staff in the first sex trafficking case. Donald Trump kicked Jeff Epstein out of one of his clubhouses, his country clubs there in Florida, for creeping up on an underage kid. He found out about it and he made him leave. It is a very, very serious thing. It was a serious thing when it happened to Roger Stone. It was a serious thing when it happened to Paul Manafort. At some point, the shoulder shrugging and the agitated head shaking are going to have to give way to something else. Something that makes a more pronounced statement. If you listen to SiriusXM, if you listen to the Patriot Channel at all, you hear November is coming, bum, 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 dun, 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 and they play all this dramatic music and these drums are beating ominously. And that's great. November is coming and it's cool. I'm glad November's coming because that's when Thanksgiving is and I love turkey. Learned how to smoke drumsticks last year, and I want to do that again. So November's awesome. But you know what? November, yeah, that's true. We're going to have to vote in the midterms. We were talking about this just a minute ago before Tom Jones came in. We have a golden opportunity here. There are at least 30, maybe 31, maybe more by now, as these guys start to see the writing on the wall in terms of their chances for reelection after the performance of this idiot in the Oval Office and the idiots running him. But we got to look carefully at who goes. We can't just send anyone anymore. An informed and disseminating electorate. That's all there is to it. It's where it goes. It's totally where it goes. The White House plays dumb. We heard that from the beginning there with Ducey and Karine Jean-Pierre. They say they don't know anything about it. They say that they can't comment on the ongoing investigation and that Biden's Justice Department is independent from his administration. And nobody's answering questions. Joe Biden was at some kind of thing today. There was he said a few sentences there at an event at the White House, and there were a lot of press obviously there, and they're asking about, nobody's saying anything. Nobody acted like they didn't even hear the guy. And you can hear him. I mean, it was obvious. And no way, it's not going to happen. We're not going to talk about it. Ongoing investigation. What else we got going on? Let me see what other random neural firings I can come up with. China's still jumping up and down over Nancy Pelosi. Like, you know, we, like, I don't know like what that's about, but yeah. I don't know. And I think, I really don't know that a whole lot, in the aftermath, in the immediacy of this thing, in the immediate aftermath, I don't know that a whole lot's going to happen. But I think over the next few days, we're gonna see some backlash on this. And like I was telling you earlier, there are always times when they overreach. And I think this is a really good example of this progressive Marxist left-wing kook overreach in doing this. Everybody yelled a little bit with Roger Stone. Everybody made a little bit of noise with Manafort when they did this. So they decided to try it again. And I think they may this time conceivably have bit off more than they can chew. I don't know what the motivation was here. I think it was to intimidate. I think it was to frighten and intimidate and show the American people what's going to happen to you if you don't like what the Biden people are doing. I mean, basically, that's it. And we like to think that the institutions of our government, especially those institutions involved with the adjudication or the enforcement of the law, are balanced, are impartial, and are professional. They're unbiased. But that's not what we got. And we can't let it exist in this in its current condition. We can't. I don't know what the remedy is. November's coming. Bum, bum, bum. But it's going to be more, it's going to take more than just a bunch of, you know, pissed off middle class Republicans going out that one day and delivering a haymaker and thinking that that's the end of the fight. That's not it. It's going to have to be more than that. It's going to have to be, we go out and we do. We give them that shot. We sock them right in the jaw. But we can't let it end there because they're going to try to get up. And when they do, we have to sock them in the jaw again. We can't let these kind of people who lust for the levels of power that they do have anything to do with the reins of power in Washington, D.C. or anywhere else. We simply cannot. And it's going to take more than just the vote. We're going to have to watch everything. We're going to have to be vocal. We're going to have to be a lot more involved. We're going to have to raise up a whole lot of hell. And even then, we're going to have our hands full. But that's the way it's going to get done. And it's not going to be done without cost. Not dead air, just thinking about things. So we got a lot of people in this country. Bottom line, I'm going to wrap this up Michael Cutler style and cut out of here a few minutes early. Number one, are you happy? We talked about this last week. Are you happy? You like the way things are going? Are you good with $5 a gallon gas? Are you cool with dudes being able to go pee in, watch some guy walk in the ladies' room right after your 15-year-old daughter did? You good with that? You happy about that? You like it? Are you happy about the fact that kids can get access to, you know, graphic gay literature, pornographic literature in their school libraries? Is that cool? No, of course you're not happy about these things. And there's nothing wrong with being unhappy with them. You're not a homophobe. You're not a transphobe or a cisgender phobe. You're normal, okay? It's normal to not be happy under those conditions. It's normal to be suspect of people behaving that way. There's nothing wrong with you. It's them. And so many times these people get up here and they try to give you the gaslight treatment saying, no, there's something wrong with you for not accepting, for not being tolerant of a guy wanting to go in the girl's bathroom right after your 15-year-old daughter walked in there. There's something wrong with you. No, there's nothing wrong with you. You're all right. Finish up with this last clip. I play it a lot. And, you know, it's still the same. Nothing changes. This was from 1976. Well, where the... Okay. The things that he talks about are the things we talk about now. None of it's changed. None of it has changed.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
It's what we have to do. You tell me what's different from 1976 to now. Nothing. And we have to tell them we're human beings, God damn it. Our life does have value because they're not going to see that. They're not interested in that. They're not interested in our humanity. They're not interested in our value. They're interested in power. They're interested in authority. They're interested in subjugation. Last week, I turned 60 years old. A ruggedly handsome 60, but 60 nonetheless. And I can tell you unequivocally that the America that I lived in as a boy from, say, 1967 to 1977, when I graduated in high school in 1980, it's not the same. It is not the same. It's not the same as I was when I was in my 20s, in the big 80s. It's not. I consider us less free. In many ways, I consider us less prosperous. And I just wonder if the American people have what it takes to do the hard work of restoration in this country. I don't know. You know, we got a lot of kids out there. You know, we got 25, 35 years worth of college graduates who were taught what to think, not how to think. And they weren't taught anything good about this country. There's a lot of stuff to overcome. I think it can be done. I think we're in the process of doing it. I just hope that it's not too little too late. And I think that's where we're going to leave. We're going to knock off a little bit early tonight. You've been listening to A Conservative's Perspective with James Bostic here on the Patriot Nation Radio. Patriot Nation Radio can be found at blogtalkradio.com. What you do, www.blogtalkradio.com, and you type in Patriot Nation Radio, and you're going to find A Conservative's Perspective here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. live, 7 Eastern Standard Time. Wednesdays, you're going to find Kevin White and the American Allegiance Program. The American Allegiance Program. Thursday, I'll be back from 7 to 8, and then the handsome one himself, Mark Hoffman, El Guapo, will be in for me tonight with Patriot Nation Radio Live, Liberty Lighthouse, Pete Serafine on Fridays. Great stuff, man. Really great stuff. And we're really proud of how we're growing. Thank you very much for the opportunity to hang out and talk about stuff the way that we do here. We'll be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Lord willing, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. You guys take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you then.